There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Game to be an eliminator for the Bengals. I disagree with his logic.
I agree 100% with it. Doug, this is now twice this year. I look at a man that has run football teams, and I say, what has happened to your brain?
You just said you agree 100% with it. Do you agree or disagree?
I disagree with it 100%.
Donnie, did you hear that too? I'm not trying to get sidetracked again, but I heard agree 100%.
I actually didn't catch that one.
Okay, I disagree with him 100% on this.
Yeah, I want the water to be muddier for the Steelers' opponents chasing them. I want the Bengals to be 5-5 and the Ravens to be 6-4. Because then if the Steelers win, they're 7-2 and suddenly there's a little breathing room.
Yes.
You've got loss column breathing room.
You could somehow lose to them the next week
and still in first.
Right.
But here's the other part. If the Ravens drop to 6-4 and the Bengals go to 5-5, Bengals still three games behind you in the loss column. You win this game, which is not unfathomable by any stretch. They're only a 2.5-point dog on the road. Then you're 7-2, okay? Bear with me. You beat the Ravens the next week. You have already split the season series, and they are three games behind you in the loss column.
It's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
Now, you can say that because Doug would confront you, and you'd be like, Doug, I was just trying to give my honest opinion, and I don't think he'd want to kill you for that. I just don't know why you'd want to eliminate a team that could, by winning, weaken the team that is closest to you while also not strengthening themselves that much relative to your position here. I came out of this thinking I was going to bet the Ravens tonight because I want the Bengals to win, and at least if the Ravens win, I'll get something out of it.
Any of these graphs and charts that you can get online where you plug in results and it shows you how your percentages change by the result of the game. If the Ravens lose, the Steelers' odds to win the division get better. They improve. And Doug's talking about how if the Ravens win, it's a good thing.
No, I disagree with that completely. You think Doug, though? Doug's been doing this
a while. I don't even get the logic of it. There is none.
He's been doing this a while in the air. Do you think he just tossed out some chum in the water? Because Doug is savvy when it comes to that. I think he knows when he says stuff, it makes waves.
Like when he said that they were going to bench Fields for Russell Wilson just to drive down the price of Fields?
He knew that we would talk about it. I want the Bengals to win. Because it just muddies that.
I can't even believe I would have never, ever, ever thought of this as a topic because I thought it was just
maybe that's why
academic. It was just elementary that everybody is rooting for the Bengals tonight.
Maybe we've got somebody out there that wants them further or closer to eliminated from the race because they fear the tiger.
Donnie, would you like to argue on behalf of Doug Whaley here?
I see where he's coming from.
You do?
I do, yeah. I actually can see where
he's
coming from.
Is it like Abu Dhabi?
I don't know where the hell he was at this morning. I know he's always in pretty – or yesterday morning. I know he's always in pretty exotic places. But, Malzi, I would think that you could tie yourself to this more than you already have because you have such an affinity for Joe Burrow and the Bengals. So
yeah, but
his mindset of let's not give Burrow – many more chances, put this dude out of his misery. I don't want to see this guy anywhere near the playoffs. A guy that has played like nails in the playoffs where the other quarterback in tonight's game has looked awful in the playoffs at times and has completely crumbled in the playoffs despite how many MVPs he might have on his shelf. I see where he's coming from.
Yeah,
It sounds like you agree with him is what I'm hearing there.
I think that's a compelling way of framing Doug's argument there, Donnie, like a more compelling way. But I still just like the idea of, for the immediate purposes of trying to win the division, weakening the Ravens because you still at least have two cracks at the Bengals. And for as much as I pumped Joe Burrow's tires here, I think the Steelers are right now a better football team. They are certainly a more complete football team than the Bengals. I think they might be able to score 35 or 38 on Cincy.
Okay, so let's just say this. They get a home game against the Bengals in the playoffs first round, or they have a game against the Ravens. It could be in either building. Playoffs here. Which game do you feel better about?
I feel better about the game against the Ravens.
Exactly.
I'd feel better about the game against the Bengals because they always absolutely shoot themselves in the foot when it's the Steelers in the playoffs.
They haven't with number nine.
They've never played the Steelers in the playoffs with number nine. They have shot themselves in the foot in spectacular fashion in games he started against them in the regular season. Five turnovers or whatever it was, four interceptions.
Well, wait, I mean, your initial argument, though, sounded like because of the sins of Carson Palmer and Andy Dalton, you'd feel good about, or A.J. McCarron.
Yeah, it was an intentionally lazy argument.
What? You're just admitting that you said something that you didn't even believe literally 30 seconds ago?
No, just saying, like, the fact that I was saying that they always step on a rake against the Steelers, it isn't Joe Burrow's fault, it's those other guys' fault.
Okay. But why even bring it up?
Franchise DNA, you know. It might just be hardwired for as long as
Well, yeah, but I feel like the franchise DNA changed with Burrow. I mean, I think, like, we do this all the time when the Pirates play the Cardinals. We just assume if it's a big game, the Cardinals are going to win.
You know what? You know why tangibly I actually would feel better about
the Bengals? Penguins and Capitals were like that for a very long time.
Tangibly, I would feel better about playing the Bengals for one reason. As bad as Baltimore's defense has been against the pass, the Bengals' defense is orders of magnitude worse. It is. I mean, it's one of the worst defenses I think I've seen for a team that has a reasonable chance at contending. And so I would take my chances in a shootout there. Because here's the other thing. I just think at some point that dam is going to burst when it comes to the Steelers having been able to have good success against Lamar Jackson specifically. And it feels like that might be this year because of the injection of Derrick Henry into that offense.
All right, let's say, though, for just the sake of argument, that the Bengals win this game, mm-hmm. Okay?
Yeah.
Do you think that they'll split with the Steelers?
Probably.
Okay, so that would give them their sixth loss, even if they win tonight. They would be 5-5 with a win. If they lose one of the two games against the Steelers, that's six losses.
Yep, 6-6, you just say.
Yep. Do you think they'll be an underdog against the Chargers on the road in primetime next week?
Probably should be. They'd be a small underdog, but I think they should be.
So that would get them to seven losses if they lose that game.
Chargers are a hell of a litmus test for them because no one scores on the Chargers. Bengals score on everybody. That would actually be a movable object meets irresistible force.
I'm just saying, like, even if they beat Baltimore, yeah, they look way better at 5-5 than 4-6. But I still don't think it's a slam dunk for them to make the playoffs.
Chargers and who else? Give me the rest.
At the Cowboys, at the Titans, the Browns, and the Broncos.
I probably see them running the table out, though, at that point.
Okay, but you say that, and I get why you say that. Did you just break something?
No, I just knocked something over. I just leaned back in my chair taking a relaxed posture.
You say that because of what we've done for years. They have Joe Burrow, so you give him a shot. They've also lost home games this year to the Patriots, for crying out loud.
That's true.
Like...
They lost a home game to the Patriots, but they have been spotty and inconsistent.
They just lost to Philly at home by 20 points.
That's more of the telling thing to me. So that's more the telling thing. When I talk about not being as afraid of them as I am of Baltimore, I've seen Baltimore just absolutely roll over some really good teams this year. Now, granted, they've had some bad losses. But when you saw Cincy go up against Philly, feeling like they pretty much needed to win that game, like we got to get ourselves right, Philly waltzed in there. I think Philly is a talented team coached by a guy that just – sometimes I wonder, like, if there's just an animal banging cymbals in Nick Sirianni's head, if you could do the cutout of his brain, like, because he's just asleep at the switch. And they still went in there and rolled Cincy by 20 points.
Matt wanted to tweet me and let me know that I'm actually a bad fan because I said in a FanDuel read that I will have undivided attention on Bengals and Ravens tonight.
And not what?
And that means Penguins that Canes. I won't have the Penguins and the Hurricanes game on, I guess. And it's my job, he said, to watch the Penguins and Hurricanes game.
No.
I think for the purpose of my job, way more people care about this football game tonight that doesn't even involve the Steelers than they do one of 82 friggin' hockey games.
Obviously, if Sidney Crosby gets to 600 tonight, that will be extremely newsworthy. We'll talk about it. You'll probably have it on your second TV.
He needs to get two goals to get there.
I'm aware.
Yes.
My point here is...
I don't know
if
Matt is aware of that.
My point here is, what are we going to do tomorrow? Come on the air and be like, could you believe that fourth line cycle that they... like, if the game does not yield like a Crosby hat trick in history, man, could you believe how
I love the Penguins as much as the... I guess I don't love them as much as the next guy because I'm getting called out by this dude, but...
It's game what of 14? Game 14, I think, of 82.
They play tomorrow night. I'll watch them against the Capitals. I mean, I just... This football game, I think, is gigantic.
It is. You don't have to justify it.
Apparently, this Matt character, I do.
I mean, Matt sounds to me like one of, and we have these on this show, Jeff in South Park is a hockey fan first and foremost.
I think Jeff in South Park would even say he's going to watch more of Ravens-Bengals tonight. I don't know about
Penguins,
that, Chris.
But here's the point about Jeff. He's a hockey fan first, and I think he'll have that hockey game on, but he wouldn't shame you for having the football game on. But we do have some people who are hockey fans first and almost hockey fans only, and I think that's what Matt might be.
I mean, even if the Penguins were my favorite team and the Steelers were second,
there's just a
Bengals-Ravens game.
There's a scarcity of...
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Of the games here.
No doubt. .5:15 on a Thursday. That means it's time to talk to Steelers insider Ray Fittipaldo, brought to you by LGKG Injury Lawyers. Seven locations in the Pittsburgh region. They'll take your personal injury case personally. LGKG.com. Ray, who are the Steelers rooting for tonight? The Bengals or Ravens?
You know, if it's me, I want the division title in play. And
yes.
I think if the Ravens take another loss, and then you even look forward, you got the Ravens at home. I mean, they potentially, if they lose tonight and the Steelers beat them, they're 2.5 games ahead of the Ravens. So that's the direction I want to go, but I fully understand the Bengals being a very dangerous team. You don't really want to let a team like that in the playoffs. You'd much rather have a Broncos type of a team there. So I get it, but I want the division title in the higher seed and play in December and January. So that's the way I'm leaning there.
Hey, Ray, just hypothetically, since we're thinking about potential matchups, if you could give Mike Tomlin truth serum and then ask him who would you rather see in a playoff game, the Bengals or the Ravens, who do you think he would say? Rather play against.
Yeah, I mean... That's a hard one, Chris. They've had a lot of success recently against Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson doesn't really – his playoff record doesn't scare me, while Joe Burrow obviously has a track record in the playoffs. I mean, I would probably say Bengals just because I don't think their roster is as good overall as the Ravens is, but that's a tough one. Put it this way, as long as Joe Burrow has a healthy T. Higgins and a healthy Ja'Marr Chase, the answer might be the Bengals, but Boy, that's a coin flip there.
Ray, in light of the Chuba Hubbard signing, should the Steelers regret not picking up Najee's fifth-year option?
I don't think they're sitting back and, you know, worrying about the way the Carolina Panthers do business. I mean, that's their prerogative. Other teams are handing out $8 million deals, you know, to their running backs. That's fine. I just don't think.
But I think agents care about that and then use it as leverage for their guys.
Yeah, I totally get it, but I think Jaylen Warren's going to be a restricted free agent next year. Cordarrelle Patterson is under contract. You could always draft a running back. I mean, I get it. Like, Najee Harris is having a really good year. The temptation might be there to go back to him and say, will you come back for this number? But, I mean, $8 million a year for a guy who, you know, is going to split carries or split playing time, I don't know. Every team is different. You know, maybe Hubbard is going to play 75-80% of the snaps. That's just not the way the Steelers have managed their backfield in recent years.
Ray, how much in the way of snap counts do you expect Mike Williams and Preston Smith to get in this game this Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, I think Preston Smith is in a different situation because I don't expect Nick Herbig to play, so I think they're probably cramming with Preston right now, getting him up to speed with the playbook. If Herbig is down, which I expect, would be Jeremiah Moon and Preston Smith, and I think you play each of those guys, 10, 15, 20 snaps, depending on how it goes. The Mike Williams thing, I don't think they're going to work him in a lot. Like, if you look at DeAndre Hopkins' first game, I think he had 2 catches for 29 yards. You saw what happened last week with Deontay. I mean, don't have high expectations for Mike Williams this week. I do think you'll see that grow week to week. If I had to put a number on snap counts this week, if he does dress, I'm going to say 12 to 15.
Ray, do you think that Mike Williams is the wide receiver version of Russell Wilson, meaning Russell Wilson was just a bad fit in Denver, and Mike Williams was just a bad fit in New York and is actually still a really good receiver?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you guys have heard Williams' interview with us yesterday. I mean,
oh, my God, he went out of his way to bury Aaron Rodgers. It was incredible. We loved it.
Yeah, I mean, I was there. I didn't take it as burying him. I just thought it was, like, truth. Like, that's the way he is. He's very detailed, and they could never get on the same page. So,
I mean, when you say I'm excited to play with a leader and say leader repeatedly, it's hard not to infer that he's bashing his old quarterback who basically didn't want him to practice with the team anymore.
Hey, listen, I mean, if Rodgers deserves that, if Mike really feels that way, calling him out, and it's not like Mike Williams is some retread. I mean, that guy's
correct.
He's got some pedigree. He's got a couple thousand-yard seasons under his belt. What was the question? I forget what the question was.
No, is he the version of Russell Wilson where they're going to get a lot more out of him than New York did because of the fit?
Yeah, I mean, the potential is there. The tough thing for Mike is he's coming off an ACL injury, didn't have a spring or a summer, had that experience in New York, and now you're asking him to come in and learn on the fly here. That's why I'm tempering expectations for him in the early stages. I do think, like Mike said this yesterday, you want to build this. They acquired these guys for the rest of the journey. So if he's not a factor in week 9, maybe he's a factor in week 12. Maybe he's a big part of the offense in week 14, 15, 16, when you really need him, and then going into the playoffs.
Ray, what would be, in your opinion, an acceptable last 9 games record for the Steelers? Like, what are you kind of gearing towards? You don't know who's going to get injured, but they go 4-5. Is that good enough over these last 9?
I think 5-4 if you want to be in contention for the North. I think 4-5 if you want to be comfortably in the playoffs.
What do you think they're capable of based on what you've seen so far this year?
I think 5-4 is doable. Those 2 games against the Browns, I know division games, you say maybe you split, but they're trading away half their roster. I mean, they should sweep the Browns. And let's say they just split with the Bengals and the Ravens. So that's 4 right there. Then all you got to do over the last couple is beat the one of the 3, the Commanders, the Eagles, or the Chiefs. I think that's really doable. I know things can go in any direction when you're talking about playing the Ravens and the Bengals. None of those are gimmies. But I think 5-4 and finishing 11-6 will give you a great shot of getting a home playoff game.
I don't want to give you the easy answer of, well, they're going to ease them back in against Washington, so I'll ask you about the following game against Baltimore. By the time we get to the Ravens game, who will be getting more snaps at nickel corner, Beanie Bishop or Cam Sutton?
I'm going to go Cam Sutton, but
Wow. Guys,
you have to understand that you have to understand they are going to move Cam Sutton around, and it's going to be a week-to-week thing. Cam Sutton's a really good guy in all situations, too. I mean, Beanie's good in run defense, so maybe he's got that mapped
out. But, Ray, when you say move him around, I mean, that means Dante Jackson and Deshaun Elliott are going to get fewer snaps?
No, like DeMonte KZ, his snaps might be up for grabs, you know.
Edmonds
had a role the last couple of weeks. You know, guys like that. I mean, listen, when they acquired Cam Sutton in July, it was to play slot corner. Let's face it. Beanie Bishop has come on and had two really good games, but would we be having this conversation at all if Cam Sutton had a six-game suspension and was due to come back after the Cowboys game? So let's let Beanie play it out. If he's hot, keep him in there. But eventually, I think the bulk of the snaps in the slot are going to go to Sutton, but I'm telling you, they're not going to go to Sutton right away. I mean, Beanie's going to have to maybe, you know, come back to play to the mean, and you know, Sutton's going to have to prove his worth, too. I mean, he hasn't played since the NFC Championship game last January. So, you know, it's going to take some time as well.
Ray, this is just an off-the-board question for you.
Ooh, I like those.
Just kind of one that popped into my head.
Is this like the free association game
plays? No. It's not annoying
tomorrow.
Like that. Yeah.
Isn't Donnie in on that now?
I think he is, but I think Starkey plays that game by himself. All right, Ray, here we go. We're going to play.
Donnie, does Starkey let you sneak in questions for Ray during that?
Maybe once, but not really. I normally just let Joe do his thing.
Okay.
Ray,
let Joe cook.
I'm not saying that this is going to happen, and I'm this guy's biggest backer, and I'm even admitting it's unlikely. How much of a lift or a boost for them would it be if Broderick Jones could even pass block at an average level these last nine games?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. It's funny because if you look at the guys on that line, he's the guy with the most pedigree, and he struggled the most. I mean, even Ryan McCollum came into the lineup, and you look at the, you know, you look at the way he played, you know, he was playing better than Broderick Jones was. So eventually, guys, the light bulb is going to go off. Eventually, he's going to be a really good player in this league. Steelers obviously want that to happen this season rather than next season, but you know, Pat Meyer said it last week. He is still young. He didn't play a lot in college. Sometimes it takes time for these guys to to develop and get their feet under themselves. So they've actually been fine with him playing at that level. If he could play at a different level, that would mean better running game and better pass protection for Russ as they hit their stride here. So that would be huge if that happened.
Ray, what's the explanation now that Russell Wilson is back in there for the lack of production from Freiermuth?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's only two games, guys, so I'm not gonna bang on Russ just because Pat hasn't been involved in two games. I think a lot of that's on Arthur Smith, and I was just looking at the numbers today, the way he spreads the ball around. Pickens is top, 58 targets. He's by far the top, but like, Najee has a bunch of targets. Van Jefferson has 21. Austin has 25. I mean, he does like to spread it around. Does it hurt guys like Freiermuth? Yeah, it does, because if you're a legit number two or number three option in an offense, that's going to hurt you eventually. But they're paying that guy too much money for him to be, a big player. So eventually that's going to spike. That's going to increase. But I'm with you. It's got to happen sooner rather than later. And maybe that off week was a good time to kind of retool and look at the way they're doing things, because that guy's definitely got to be more involved in the offense.
Ray, do you have the Steelers going to 7-2 this Sunday in D.C.?
I do. I think they go down there. If there's one weakness on the Commanders, and I think Jaden Daniels is the real deal. I think that offense is for real. They don't stop the run very well. And if you look at with the way the Steelers won games before Wilson took over, they could limit possessions. So if you play keep away from Jaden Daniels, Najee has a big game. you know, make a couple of big plays in the passing game. I think you can win, you know, like 27-24, 24-20, something like that. So, you know, if they get into a shootout with them, I don't know. But if they can limit the possessions and don't let Jaden Daniels be on the field all that much, I think they got a real chance at winning.
Ray Fittipaldo with us. Check him out in the Post-Gazette and listen to him tomorrow with Donnie and Joe. It's supposed to be at 11, but usually the interview starts at 11:19. Thank you, Ray.
That is correct. All right, guys, see you.
So, Donnie, how does that work? Do you guys tell him it's actual? Do you tell him 11, or do you actually say it's supposed to be 11, but it's going to be more like 11:20?
I mean, in that case, tomorrow, that's the job of the producer, which I guess will be Jolie, because Limits has to move up to the morning show because Harry Callis is on vacation.
I sent Callis a nice note, and he didn't get back to me, and I'm really pissed about it.
Yeah, he's not really good at the whole texting thing sometimes. But, like, I would take that in as my responsibility if this was our show, for example. Like, give the person a heads up of, hey, we're going to be late.
But late is, like, 3 or 4 minutes late.
Well,
19 minutes
if it's
going to
be
something
that,
else happened.
Like, if it's going to be that, I'm going to give them a heads up of closer to that time frame.
Yeah, it's always fun with those guys.
Joe just operates in kind of a different space-time continuum than the rest of us.
5:30 on a Thursday, that means it's time for Total Request Thursday. We give you topics to choose from, and you pick the one you want us to talk about right now. Four topics on the table today. Politics was an option.
Yes, it was.
There's been a lot of politics going on with the presidential election.
A lot of people talking about politics.
And they usually say don't talk politics on shows like ours.
Mm-mm.
So we put that to the test. So you'd figure that would finish in last, because that's the last thing people want us to talk about. Nerd rip Steelers. People are usually intrigued by nerdy analytics person who steps into the football sandbox and starts to criticize team and NFL players when the guy couldn't throw a football himself more than 5 yards.
Okay.
Pirates hot stove.
I feel like that one's been a choice a lot.
The Pirates hot stove? Well,
yeah.
How could it be? I mean, the free agency just started.
Right. I just made that up.
You're doing a lot of that today.
I just feel like the Pirates
you're
in general are
just saying things,
kind of the,
and then you're immediately regretting the words that have
I'm
come
just
out of
reading
your
mouth. Some of the actual replies to your tweet of TRT. First one, is Ayuk a Steeler?
Doesn't that guy respond to every one of my
no,
tweets?
No, that's not that Swedish chef guy.
Oh.
Teresa, memorialized Kirk Herbstreit's dog, already did that. Somebody asking about Carmen and Lima.
Okay.
The phrase Lib Tears is in there.
Is that directed at
Lima,
one of us?
At Lima.
Oh, why would I want to talk about another talk show host's reaction to the presidential election? That's what I guess politics would have been
Maybe
for.
Just don't talk at all.
Oh.
That's from Rats underscore crack.
Just have dead air.
That's from a Rats butt crack is the implied.
Well, I think we'd
there.
Be okay because of the raucous crowd. That's
true.
We'd
have ambient noise behind us.
And then, yeah, somebody said nerd rips the Steelers. But guess what, folks?
Najee's new deal.
And this was a very competitive race.
33.7.
Politics got 25% to finish second. Pirates hot stove, almost 22%. Nerd ripping the Steelers, however, a mere 19.3.
So Ray just said with us he thinks the Steelers don't have regrets on Najee's fifth-year option. And he also said, well, the Steelers are not going to be reactionary or reactive to what the teams like the Panthers are doing, driving up the cost of running backs with the deal that they just gave their starting running back today.
Mm-hmm.
When an agent looks at Najee Harris and sees that his numbers in production are better than Hubbard's, he's going to demand that player get a better contract.
Correct.
If he doesn't, then that guy
Bad
honestly
agent.
Shouldn't be representing that player.
Shouldn't be representing any player.
Right, unless Najee Harris says, I want a hometown discount, and frankly, I don't see that happening.
Well, then, you know what the agent would do at that point? Sir, I'm not going to represent you. You could get a lot more money somewhere else.
Yeah. I don't want to put my name on this
contract. Unless I've made a ton of money off of you in my career, and you're Sidney Crosby, and I understand what all of this means in the long run, yeah.
I think that Najee Harris, if he keeps this up, is pricing himself out of Pittsburgh.
Okay.
And I
just say so be it, man. I don't know why. There's like a – I'm a little bit surprised at the degree to which your mind has changed on the player here.
Well, wait a minute.
On the player as pertaining to the fifth-year option thing. Because, like, even saying that, you are admitting, wow, like, he would be a bargain. He's been a lot better. Man, it's been three games. Like, there is a very real chance. Let's say he goes out against Washington and for whatever reason just has a couple runs where it looks like he could do more and doesn't. People are going to be right back in line, especially if they lose, saying, this guy stinks. Or, like, this guy's not as explosive as Warren.
All right, well, what if he has another big game and it's four in a row now with him?
Okay, then you're happy that you have a player who is on a contract year, who's playing really well, and helping you seriously entertain thoughts of achieving your ultimate goal, which is always supposed to be a Super Bowl here.
But when you could have kept him around for a very affordable price, there has to be some kind of second-guessing that goes on it. At least there is for me.
Ray didn't feel like there was. Because Ray also said something that stuck out to me there, and he said it kind of offhandedly as like an aside. He said, would they want to like be paying that much, or would they place that much value on a guy who's still in a job share? So in Ray's opinion, even though they've watched him roll for 100 yards in three straight games, they would still see him as part of a job share even if they brought him back on a new contract. Or that a job share running back is still how they view him overall. The other thing about Najee's 100-yard games that supports that idea that they like the idea of him splitting time with other backs is, hey, he hasn't had like huge carry numbers. He's been very efficient, and I would imagine that they feel that that's because he's not getting worn out in these games.
Well, so who's the bell cow next year? Jaylen Warren, Cordell Patterson.
Why do you need a bell cow? I thought we were the players
The
last,
yeah,
the
right.
last bastion or the last vestige of holding on to that notion.
I agree with you. I didn't phrase that the best way possible. I'm blaming my sore throat and having this cold right now, and no one helping me out through it for that comment.
I mean, a guy brought you two cups of tea, and you drank them like they were.
Yes, because my throat feels like someone has a lighter held to the inside of it, and they're just burning slowly.
Very evocative.
Yeah.
Are you going to go work out tomorrow morning?
Probably. Actually, you know what? I should probably...
That's my point. You probably should rest.
No. I think more as a courtesy to the people there not to get other people sick.
But also rest helps you if you're not feeling well.
There's no rest for the weary with my workout regimen, dude.
There are people who study exercise science for a living, personal trainers who say your body gets very little to nothing out of you working out if your body
isn't feeling good. Well, then they should have told Michael Jordan before the flu game, you know what, Mike, why don't you stay home?
He was hungover.
Because you're going to get nothing out of this game.
He was hungover. He didn't have the flu.
Why don't you just stay home in your bedroom in
It's
Utah.
A little different when you're an athlete making millions of dollars.
But you're saying, though, athletes get nothing out of working out when they're sick. He had one of the greatest games
of all
time. If
Michael Jordan did not have a game that day, do you think he would have gone and practiced?
Probably, because that's his maniacal work ethic.
Do you think he would have gone to the weight room and been like, I can't wait to lift weights today, I have the flu?
You think when Sidney Crosby has a tickle in his throat, he calls the Penguins and says, you know what, guys, I think I'm going to stay off the ice today. I think I'm going to stay
at
home.
A tickle in your throat? It sounds like somebody has like gone in there with like razor blades.
That's what
it
feels
like. They're not tickling you, my friend.
That's what it feels like.
I know it sounds like you're somebody's old grandmother who's asking him to go get the Pall Malls.
Chris, go get the Pall Malls under the bed. Oh, Harry. My aunt Judy had one of those voices. My God, she sounded like Barry White because of all the smoking she did.
There was a woman long departed named, we knew her as Aunt May, who had to have a voice box thing like because she had
really?
Smoked cigarettes. And she terrified me. I think I was three when she died, but it was like... Some of the people that were friends with my mom that watched me and my brother and I, she would try to talk to me, and she was always trying to be kind, but all I could hear was that voice box. And
yeah.
I guess as a three-year-old, you don't know what you're doing, but you probably were making this person feel bad. I guess I would look at her and just run away screaming. Tears streaming down my face.
I had another aunt who was a great aunt, Aunt Connie. She sounded like Scott Farrell. She smoked so much.
Carver High!
Exactly. And she lived.
Andrew.
They had like a camp situation over like in a beach area, and her thing was she'd like go through a pack of cigarettes while she would walk the beach
and smoke a whole pack.
Smoke a whole pack while like picking up like the cans that people left behind
and then
recycle them.
Oh, I thought you were saying dropping the cigs.
Get the 5 cents
towards more cigarettes.
Can. Exactly. Probably.
I think the heaviest smoker I ever knew of was my brother, his best friend. They had like a nanny to watch because both parents were lawyers and worked long hours. I think she smoked 2 to 3 packs a day. I think she also lived like well into her 70s or 80s. Leland is the ultimate example of just some people are built different.
I just want to circle back to Najee way. One of the things that people said who cover the team when they didn't pick up the fifth-year option was, well, look at it this way. They can always sign him to a new deal after the season ends. If he plays well, that'll show them that he fits in this offense.
The price goes up.
Exactly.
The price goes up $3 or $4 million. If you, like, this is one of those, not that I would advise doing this, but if they were a team that would negotiate deals on the fly midseason, if you really genuinely felt right this second like he was a perfect fit and you thought he was going to stay healthy, you sign his ass right now and try to get him for like 7 or 8.
No, they won't. That, Chris, that can't happen now.
Pony. I want to stress, I wouldn't do that. And B, yes, his price would probably be even higher already after this many games. But that's when you should try to do it. They are making the right move, though. It's what could I say this with? Probably 95 to 98% certainty he's not playing in a Steelers uniform after this year.
If he led the league in rushing, would you want to use the franchise tag?
No, I would not.
You would not use the tag on him?
No.
Wow, I'm shocked by that.
Well, no, if he led the league in rushing, he would have to be getting close to 2,000 yards because that's what Henry's going to do.
Yes. If he was an all-pro running back, you wouldn't sign him for 11 or 12 million, whatever it is? Come on now.
I would have to figure out what else am I doing with that money.
Donnie, would you?
I'm just trying to think
ahead. If he led the league in rushing?
If he had like a 1,900-yard season and he's averaging 6 yards a carry, I might have to think differently because he would have completely
shifted the pair. Come on, you got to sign him. You got to ink him to the franchise.
Donnie, what you're being asked here.
The tag is like 11?
It's like 11.9 this past year.
I would do that.
Donnie, what you're being asked really is, if Najee Harris became a literal, completely different player than he has ever been at any point in his adult life, would you sign him to the franchise tag?
All right, but let's just take him for what he's doing this. Let's just say what he's done through the first half of the season. He's on pace for about 1,300 yards.
Okay.
So last year, let's see how many guys in the NFL
not many.
Had 1,300 yards or more rushing.
Very few.
There was one.
McCaffrey. Yeah, it was a down year. This year, I think there are going to be more, though.
So I could literally say, though, if he plays like the second-best running back in the league,
which
would get him an all-pro, I mean, if he keeps up what he's doing, it's not out of the question that he's an all-pro this season. Don't they take two?
I would want to stress, though, that as much as he's having a really good year by last year's standards, just tell me where you think he ranks in yards per game, which is what actually matters here in the NFL this year.
I believe he is, let's see, you've got Henry, Barkley, Mixon, Mason, Jacobs, Taylor, Hunt, Gibbs, Pollard, Dobbins, Williams. He's 12th.
He was on a stat site, Donnie, doing that one.
Yeah,
it
was in front of me the whole time.
He was not on Football Reference like I was. Yeah, he's not. He's been good this year. He's been much better than he's ever been as a Steeler. He has not been that special in the context of the NFL at large. As a matter of fact, you know where he ranks, despite all these good vibes about him, in yards per carry? 28th.
So greatest play so far this year?
B+.
Donnie?
I'd give him a better grade than that. I'd go into the A's. I'd give him an A-.
Man, that's surprising that you give him an A- and you don't have any regret about keeping him around for $6.7 million next year. Where would that rank among NFL salaries for running backs, $6.7 million, now that Hubbard got paid? Is it even in the top 10?
Well, the top five of the position on average to get that 11.9 has to be pretty high.
Yep. I mean, Josh Jacobs is getting $12 million a year. He's a better player than Najee, but not by much.
Here, I'm just going to do, let's see. I hate this. I'm trying to get, like, contract average. Here we go, for running backs. Here it is. McCaffrey is making this year 19.
Okay.
Taylor's making 14. Barkley's making 12.5.
Three.
Almost 12.6. Kamara 12.2.
Four.
Jacobs 12.
Five.
Drop of almost 3 million full to Montgomery at 9.1.
Six.
Ramondre 9.
Seven.
Mixon 8.5.
Eight.
Chuba 8.3.
Nine.
Swift, Henry 8 apiece.
10, 11.
Pollard, 7-2.
12.
Jones, 7.
13.
Jimbo Connors, 7.
14.
You're talking about where 6-7 would rank
yeah.
him? Yeah. It would put him 14th, or 15th technically. He'd be ahead of Miles Sanders at 6-3-5.
Isn't that about where he is as a player?
Sure.
Maybe even a little bit higher.
Sure, but I still think I can draft a player next year who's going to give me very close to, if not same performance, at a cheaper rate. That's all.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.